Today is the first day of May. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Welcome to a brand new, shiny, sparkly month here in front of us. Oh, I love these opportunities to just mark time as a new beginning. Because, man, I need them. Like, I need them. This is the 121st day of our year together. Grateful to be here, as always, around the global campfire, continuing our journey. And grateful for the next step before us, which leads us back into the book of Judges. And then we've just gotten going on the final gospel, the Gospel of John. And we'll continue that journey when we get there. But first, Judges chapters 13 and 14. The Israelites again did what was evil in the Lord's sight. So, the Lord handed them over to the Philistines 40 years. There was a certain man from Zorah, from the family of Dan, whose name was Manoah. His wife was unable to conceive and had no children. The angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Although you are unable to conceive and have no children, you will conceive and give birth to a son. Now please be careful not to drink wine or beer or to eat anything unclean, for indeed you will conceive and give birth to a son. You must never cut his hair, because the boy will be a Nazarite to God from birth, and he will begin to save Israel from the power of the Philistines." Then the woman went and told her husband, "A man of God came to me. He looked like the awe-inspiring angel of God. I didn't ask him where he came from, and he didn't tell me his name. He said to me, 'You will conceive and give birth to a son. Therefore, do not drink wine or beer, and do not eat anything unclean, because the boy will be a Nazarite to God from birth until the day of his death.'" Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, "Please, Lord, let the man of God you sent come again to us and teach us what we should do for the boy who will be born." God listened to Manoah, and the angel of God came again to the woman. She was sitting in the field, and her husband Manoah was not with her. The woman ran quickly to her husband and told him, "The man who came to me the other day has just come back." So Manoah got up and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he asked, "Are you the man who spoke to my wife?" "I am," he said. Then Manoah asked, "When your words come true, what will be the boy's responsibilities and work?" The angel of the Lord answered Manoah, "Your wife needs to do everything I told her. She must not eat anything that comes from the grapevine or drink wine or beer, and she must not eat anything unclean. Your wife must do everything I have commanded her." "Please stay here," Manoah told him, "and we will prepare a young goat for you." The angel of the Lord said to him, "If I stay, I won't eat your food, but if you want to prepare a burnt offering, offer it to the Lord." Manoah did not know he was the angel of the Lord. Then Manoah said to him, "What is your name, so that we may honor you when your words come true?" "Why do you ask my name?" the angel of the Lord asked him, "since it is beyond understanding." Manoah took a young goat and a grain offering and offered them on a rock to the Lord, who did something miraculous while Manoah and his wife were watching. When the flame went up from the altar to the sky, the angel of the Lord went up in its flame. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell face down on the ground. The angel of the Lord did not appear again to Manoah and his wife. Then Manoah realized that it was the angel of the Lord. "We're certainly going to die," he said to his wife, "because we have seen God." But his wife said to him, "If the Lord had intended to kill us, he wouldn't have accepted the burnt offering and the grain offering from us, and he would not have shown us all these things or spoken to us like this." So the woman gave birth to a son and named him Samson. The boy grew and the Lord blessed him. Then the spirit of the Lord began to stir him in the camp of Dan, between Zorah and Eshtaol. Samson went down to Timnah and saw a young Philistine woman there. He went back and told his father and his mother, "I have seen a young Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as a wife." But his father and mother said to him, "Can't you find a young woman among your relatives or among any of our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines for a wife?" But Samson told his father, "Get her for me. She's the right one for me." Now his father and mother did not know this was from the Lord, who wanted the Philistines to provide an opportunity for a confrontation. At that time, the Philistines were ruling Israel. Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. Suddenly, a young lion came roaring at him. The spirit of the Lord came powerfully on him, and he tore the lion apart with his bare hands, as he might have torn a young goat. But he did not tell his father or mother what he had done. Then he went and spoke to the woman, because she seemed right to Samson. After some time, when he returned to marry her, he left the road to see the lion's carcass, and there was a swarm of bees with honey in the carcass. He scooped some honey into his hands and ate it as he went along. When he came to his father and mother, he gave some to them, and they ate it. But he did not tell them that he had scooped the honey from the lion's carcass. His father went to visit the woman, and Samson prepared a feast there, as young men were accustomed to do. When the Philistines saw him, they brought 30 men to accompany him. "Let me tell you a riddle," Samson said to them. "If you can explain it to me during the 7 days of the feast and figure it out, I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothes. But if you can't explain it to me, you must give me 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothes." "Tell us your riddle," they replied. "Let's hear it." So he said to them, "Out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet." After 3 days, they were unable to explain the riddle. On the fourth day, they said to Samson's wife, "Persuade your husband to explain the riddle to us, or we will burn you and your father's family to death. Did you invite us here to rob us?" So Samson's wife came to him weeping and said, "You hate me and don't love me. You told my people the riddle but haven't explained it to me." "Look," he said, "I haven't even explained it to my father or mother, so why should I explain it to you?" She wept the whole 7 days of the feast, and at last, on the seventh day, he explained it to her, because she had nagged him so much. And she explained it to her people. On the seventh day, before sunset, the men of the city said to him, "What is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion?" So he said to them, "If you hadn't plowed with my young cow, you wouldn't know my riddle now." The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully on him, and he went down to Ashkelon and killed 30 of their men. He stripped them and gave their clothes to those who had explained the riddle. In a rage, Samson returned to his father's house, and his wife was given to one of the men who had accompanied him. John 1:29-51. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I told you about. After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me. I didn't know him, but I came baptizing with water so that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he rested on him. I didn't know him, But he who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The one you see the Spirit descending and resting on, he is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John was standing with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this and followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and noticed them following him, he asked them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come and you'll see," he replied. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day. It was about 4 PM. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard John and followed him. He first found his own brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought Simon to Jesus. When Jesus saw him, he said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. He found Philip and told him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the hometown of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and so did the prophets, Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Nathanael asked him. "Come and see," Philip answered. Then Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said about him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you," Jesus answered. "Rabbi," Nathanael replied, "you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus responded to him, "Do you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this." Then he said, "Truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Psalm 102. Affliction in light of eternity. A prayer of a suffering person who is weak and pours out his lament before the Lord. Lord, hear my prayer. Let my cry for help come before you. Do not hide your face from me in my day of trouble. Listen closely to me. Answer me quickly when I call. For my days vanish like smoke and my bones burn like a furnace. My heart is suffering, withered like grass. I even forget to eat my food. Because of the sound of my groaning, my flesh sticks to my bones. I am like an eagle owl, like a little owl among the ruins. I stay awake. I am like a solitary bird on a roof. My enemies taunt me all day long. They ridicule and use my name as a curse. I eat ashes like bread and mingle my drinks with tears because of your indignation and wrath. For you have picked me up and thrown me aside. My days are like a lengthening shadow, and I wither away like grass. But you, Lord, are enthroned forever. Your fame endures to all generations. You will rise up and have compassion on Zion, for it is time to show favor to her. The appointed time has come, for your servants take delight in its stones and favor its dust. Then the nations will fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth your glory, for the Lord will rebuild Zion. He will appear in his glory. He will pay attention to the prayer of the destitute and will not despise their prayer. This will be written for a later generation, and a people who have not yet been created will praise the Lord. He looked down from his holy heights. The Lord gazed out from heaven to earth to hear a prisoner's groaning, to set free those condemned to die, so that they might declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem, when peoples and kingdoms are assembled to serve the Lord. He has broken my strength in mid-course. He has shortened my days. I say, my God, do not take me in the middle of my life. Your years continue through all generations. Long ago you established the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. All of them will wear out like clothing. You will change them like a garment, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years will never end. Your servants' children will dwell securely, and their offspring will be established before you. Proverbs 14, 15, and 16. The inexperienced one believes anything, but the sensible one watches his steps. A wise person is cautious and turns from evil, but a fool is easily angered and is careless. So as we move in now to this brand new month of May, the seasons change, everything is in full bloom or coming into full bloom. Well, we begin this fascinating story of another one of the judges of Israel, famous Samson. And as this story unfolds, we'll get not only a glimpse into the volatile times of the judges, the times of the children of Israel, where everyone is navigating by doing what is right in their own eyes, but also a pretty good hard look at our own soul. At least me, you know, Samson will teach us much if we will let him, if we will go there, if we will let the story unfold before us. So let's do that. And then in John's Gospel, we find ourselves for the last time back at the Jordan River as Jesus is beginning his ministry. And there's this loose band of people, like brothers, fishermen, brothers, people who know each other. They're kind of forming around him. And it's fascinating how Jesus chose the inner circle for his earthly ministry. How God, like, let's look at it that way. How God chose his ambassadors to accompany him through his earthly ministry, because there weren't any job interviews in this. There wasn't a review of education. There weren't calling any former worker employers. He wasn't looking for like the smartest or the strongest people he could possibly find. He didn't seem to pick anybody with a marketing degree. He certainly didn't hire a speechwriter. No social media manager, like nothing like this. His invitation was open to anyone who would listen. Anyone with an open heart and ears ready to hear. And as it turns out, Jesus chose what would on paper be ill-equipped people. But those ill-equipped people did go on to change the world. And he still does choose ill-equipped people. I can promise you that, because I am one of those. You probably are too. And then today, in the Psalms, man, the Psalms doesn't, it's beautiful to me that it will give language for the internal emotional pain mental and physical pain that the pain that we suffer in our lives. And it speaks it in ways that we should be able to reach across time and touch and understand. My days disappear like smoke, right? My bones burn like red hot coals. Anyone relate? My heart is sick. It's withered like grass. I've lost my appetite. I'm reduced to skin and bones. I lie awake lonely as a solitary bird on a roof. Ashes are my food. Tears run down into my drink. My life passes as swiftly as the evening shadows. I'm withering away like grass. Man, as we ponder that plight of the psalmist, we should be able to understand we've experienced these seasons as well. If we choose to stay in that place of despair, because what he's describing, you go back and read that again, and he's describing a traumatic experience, painful experience that is not yet healed. So as we ponder this, we may ponder our own wounds and our own trauma, because we can choose to stay in despair. We can choose to stay in depression. We can stay in hopelessness or anything else that brings us very, very low. We can stay. Or we can do what the psalmist says. But before we go there, let's just point out that, depression, if that is upon you, right, despair, you can get even more wounded by someone just telling you to change, just get over it. Just move on. Just move in another direction. Just get up on your feet. Just let's go. That's not usually how mental anguish works. Sometimes grace is required to know that a person is actually already doing the best that they can, even though it's nowhere near enough. It's a process. And it's a process for this psalmist. And so he moves through this process by first naming what is going on, not hiding it, not shelving it, not putting on a fake facade, a fake face, and pretending that these things are not happening. He just gets brutally honest about what is happening. And then from that honest place that still hurts, he says, let this be recorded for future generations, so that a people not yet born, and by the way, that's you and me, so that people not yet born will praise the Lord. Tell them the Lord looked down from his heavenly sanctuary. He looked down to earth from heaven to hear the groans of the prisoners, to release those condemned to die. So amid suffering, and this is, I'm speaking to myself as I speak to all of us, like this is stuff we need to hear. Amid suffering, in the midst of it, the psalmist found a way to find that little red beacon of hope far off in the distance and move in that direction. Because in that hope, he looked forward to a future time where future generations would be hearing this story. So it's a cry of the heart that's very personal, written for us. We are those future generations. The psalmist told us that God rescued him. That's the message. Like, from thousands of years ago, this person wants you to know that God rescued him in the depths, so that there is a witness from thousands of years ago to give us some measure of courage to take one more step, because that little red beacon of hope may be far in the distance. We will never get there without one step first happening. Take the first step and then keep going. Do the work. Whatever the work is, do the work. Move toward healing and wholeness that is available to us. Let's take comfort, knowing that the scriptures are speaking directly to us today, now, with hope. We are God's children, and we will always thrive in His presence. And so, Father, we thank You for that. We lose sight of that all the time. We lose connection to it. Often we don't. I mean, often we're maintaining our relationship with You like we're maintaining our relationship with everybody else. And if we look at the condition of our relationships, well, that should tell us a whole lot. But walking with You is a constant. The relationship that we have, the connection that we are supposed to have with You is constant. And so thank You for sending these words to us, because it's so hard when we're feel like we're dying inside to have hope or to reach for anything. It just feels like we're sealed in a tomb and there's no way out. So thank You for these words of encouragement. We reach for You. We turn toward You and not away. We come toward You. We move in toward You, knowing that You are there and present for us. Holy Spirit, come. Lead us into healing. Lead us into truth. Lead us into Jesus. We ask in His name. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app are indeed our home base. And we are in our brand new home base. The one that had been coming for a long time is here. And this has been move-in week, and that's what we're doing. But we are in our brand new home, continuing to work real hard to stabilize everything, optimize everything, and then walk alongside the community as we move. It's been fun to see, though, and I'm grateful. So I'm trying to just walk alongside. Walk together. Keep everybody updated on how things are going, where we're going, and explaining this new place that we find ourselves in. Connection is one of the main things that we are beginning to build into the community. And so I spent some time yesterday talking about the watch section. That's in the community section. That's confusing, but if you hit the community button in the app, you'll find a watch section. And I went through all that yesterday. Today, in the community section, I'll talk about the prayer wall. We have had a prayer wall. Man, I honestly don't know how many years, but I'm going to say at least 18. I'm just trying to think back to different versions of how to put the Daily Audio Bible together. So quite a very, very long time. And what I was not trying to build with the prayer wall was like this sprawling social media thing. It was very, very specific. This is a place that you can go and write out what's going on in a safe place, in a community that you are in, where our community is very prayerful and supportive. And so there is a place, no matter what, nobody has to be alone. And so we have had this for a long time, but this is new. This is completely redesigned, but very much more interactive, very much more communal, very much more connected. and for us, very much more manageable. It had become arduous. We are a large community. People have a lot of different feelings about a lot of different things. And then, you know, people from the outside want to get messages in. And so they hit message boards and different things. And so, it's really, really hard to manage. Keeping a prayer wall, a place of prayer, just like what we do every day here. In audio form, we hear each other, we pray for each other. How do we do that online in a prayer wall format? It's been built, and now we really feel like we got what we wanted to have all along, and the tools to kind of keep out all the things that really aren't related to prayer and encouragement. So I would love it if you familiarized yourself with the new prayer wall. It's a special thing to be able to kind of hit this button, and you're in a community, and you see these stories people are writing, and it's life. It's all the stuff of life, but some things are really, really hard to carry, and so someone has reached out. We can reach back and pray for them and encourage them. That's a spiritual connection. And when that connection is made, the one who reached, someone reached back. And that does something to us as humans. That does something to know we are seen and we are not alone. So, the community section is full of things, but there's a brand new prayer wall. So those of you who are prayer wall professionals, I've loved that. I've loved perusing, I've loved praying, I've loved scrolling. But everybody should go there just to know it's there, so that you know that no matter what, if the bottom completely falls out of your life, there is at least one place to turn. So be familiar with the Daily Audio Bible prayer wall. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you, humbly, deeply, gratefully. We are a community. This is us. There is no big anything behind all of this. This is us. And if what we do as a community together, moving through the scriptures, encouraging each other and on our lives, and pulling ourselves together in community, if that is meaningful and life-giving to you, thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or if you prefer, the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. And if you are looking for that button, it's the little red button up at the top on the right-hand side. It looks like a hotline button. You can use that anywhere in the world, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello? This is Intercessor in Delaware. Today, my prayer is for Lonnie. Lonnie, I am praying in the name of Jesus. God's complete and total cellular restoration throughout your body. That your brain will operate in wholeness. That your body receive cellular restoration through the blood of Jesus. No more blood clots. in the name of Jesus. Lonnie, I'm praying for the joy of the Lord to saturate you and your wife, and you will be greatly blessed. Through the blood of Jesus, I pray this. I pray shalom over you, Lonnie. Wholeness, fullness, completeness, perfectness, peace, prosperity, soundness of mind, heart, spirit, and soul. Tranquility, harmony, unity, kingdom rest, safety, welfare, and good health. All paid in full, Lonnie, by the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our great intercessor, the royal high priest, Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, minister greatly your peace, the fruit of your spirit in Lonnie's heart. Encourage him. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Mfon, and I'm calling from Central Texas. And today is April 28th. So after listening to the Bible reading for today, I would like to pray for Lonnie, saved but broken. And he mentioned that he has a rare disease called Mayo-Mayo disease. And he has type 2 diabetes. And his body has the ability to clot blood easily. Blood clot. And that he has already suffered 2 strokes. So Lord, we bring Lonnie before your throne of grace, and we ask for healing. We ask for restoration. We ask for comfort. We ask for peace. And we pray that you would touch his body and bring healing. And even as he desires to live longer, to spend more time with his wife and family, I ask that, Lord, you grant him according to his heart's desires. I pray for relief. He has already suffered 2 strokes. That's a lot that is going on in his body and in his brain. Please, Lord, restore his body. Please, Lord, heal him. Your desire for us is that we live in good health, even as our soul prospereth. We pray that, Lord, bring healing to our bodies, bring healing to Lonnie's body, bring peace, restoration, and grant him long life and bless his family. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello, this is Jen in Min for Jen in Minnesota, and I am trying out the new 2.0, seeing how it works. I love that I can record on my computer. This is fantastic. So welcome to 2.0. This is Jen in Min and my husband David. Have a good day. Congratulations on the new update.
Good afternoon, my DAB family. I would like to put this request for the men of this family. Whether you are young or old, single, widowed, divorced, whatever your situation is, whatever your need is, I want to bring you before the throne of grace. Heavenly and precious Father, I love you. I praise you, and I give you the glory, the honor, and the praise today for the privilege of standing in the gap for all my brothers on this line. Father, you see every need. You see every request. You see the hearts, oh God. You see the desperation. You see those that need healing. You see those, oh God, that are crying out to you for whatever their need is. I pray that they would, God, just trust in you, believe in you. I pray that you would make the men after your own heart, oh God, spiritual leaders, God, that they would depend on you, bring their petitions before the throne of grace. I love you, and I give you glory, honor, and praise. And I want to tell you I love you, Lord, and I thank you for allowing me the privilege of praying for each and every man represented on this line. In your name I pray, amen. Northeast Needbender, I love you.
Hello, hello. This is Walking in Truth from Florida, and I don't call in to the DAB
very often. And I am a double dabber, but I just had a call in today and share my little victory. It's actually a huge victory. I have been so far behind on the DAB. Last September, I had family come stay with me. Then I went to Greece for 15 days, and then I had family staying with me for 4 months, and I just have not been able to get caught up. And as of today, I am 100% caught up. And there were many times I thought, oh, I'll just, you know, just I'm never going to get caught up. I'm just going to, you know, do today and just start over. And I thought, no, I'm not a quitter. I'm going to do it. And so I stuck with it. And I listened to each one of your prayers. And even though you guys called in, and I didn't even pray until 3 months later, I thought it was still important to pray because God is outside of time. And so, you know, your prayer request may have been long past, but I want you to know that there was still someone praying on a day that was... way past when you called in. So I just love how God works, and I love each of you, and I'm so thankful to hear your prayers and to just walk alongside with you and pray with you and to share your burdens and to share your joys and your victories. And I'm just so thankful for this community. So I'm just had to share. So y'all have, be blessed and have a wonderful day. And I'm just so thankful for you. And I'm going to keep listening and keep praying.
Good evening, my DAB family. This is Northeast Kneebender. Heavenly and precious Father, I want to thank you tonight. Thank you for reminding me to be thankful through my difficult times, through our difficult times. Thank you for reminding me that I have to thank you through the circumstance. And I want to ask you to forgive me, Father, when I fall short and I become desperate. Forgive me, Father. Thank you for seeing me through. Thank you that in the waiting, you make me stronger and you lift me up. I pray this for all my brothers and sisters on this line, all of us by the campfire who are struggling right now. I give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in the name of your son, Jesus.